Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, to kick it off, hour number two. It is the home team, presented by Athens Technical College. Your passion, your future, elevated. With you till 7. You can always listen to the ref. It's never been easier to listen to the ref. If you've got smart speakers, Amazon.Echo, Google Play, you can catch us there. You can listen online, 960theref.com. Just click on the on-demand tab, or better yet, download the new 960 The Ref app. If you have an iPhone, you can find it in the App Store. If you have an Android, get it in Google Play. And we've got a lot of sports to talk about today, which is a welcomed scene, too, thanks to the NFL. They are wide open for business, and the Atlanta Falcons have been busy today, too, with trades, getting rid of guys, and there have been other trades, too. In fact, the one that they just reported could actually be potentially bad for Atlanta when it comes to the draft, but the Colts trading their first-round pick to the 49ers is...
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's one now where I was starting to think that there'd be potential for Javon Kinlaw to make it to number 16 to Atlanta if they wanted him, but now with the Niners holding that 13th pick, that might actually throw a wrench into that.
Yeah, it's, and like we said, and we were talking about it obviously for college with recruiting, but those big elite defensive linemen are the hardest guys to find. And it's just that, I know you had put me onto that one mock draft that had Kinlaw possibly landing in Atlanta, but it just, usually those guys don't last. There just aren't many of them out there.
Well, it started to just, if you started like doing a numbers game and thinking, all right, at least three quarterbacks are going. Then you've got Chase Young, Jeff Okuda, the two Ohio State defenders. So you're already at six players. Then throw in Derek Brown, so then you're at 7. Isaiah Simmons from Clemson brings you, that's 8 guys. So that's half the draft already with the Falcons. So who are these next 8 picks?
Mm-hmm.
And then you start thinking about, once one of these offensive tackles go, then you know how it is. These
There's
teams, yeah. So there's the potential to have maybe 3 or 4 offensive tackles get off the board. And then the same thing with some of these wide receivers, too. I think CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy, for sure, are two receivers that'll go prior to number 16. And then it, you know, it settles in there where, all right, you know, maybe Atlanta could be sitting there at 16, and Kinlaw is somehow still on the board. But now that the 49ers moved up there, I mean, they wouldn't be in the market for, I mean, I don't think they'd be in the part of the rush for the offensive tackle.
No.
You know, maybe they grab one of those receivers if one of them is there. I don't know, but you know, Kinlaw could be. Since they're losing a D lineman, they might want to replenish that.
No, I agree. I'm looking through a mock draft here. In fact, that Charles Davis, who I think is really good, he had the Skins taking Tua there at number 2. Oh, my God. You don't even want to look at this. He's got the Dolphins taking Jordan Love.
Like, oh, my God. God.
Please, like, certainly not. He's got big heads.
With the 5th pick?
Yeah.
They could get him. They've got those 2 other picks. They could probably get him at, like, what is it, 18 and,
and
26, I think.
Yeah. Anyway, he's got Kinlaw going 14 to Tampa. Yeah. I think it would be hard for him to slide that far to Atlanta. But like you said, they do have some capital. So
yeah. Well, it does bring us now to the 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And maybe there are some more hints about what Atlanta might be looking toward in the draft. They do lose Austin Hooper to free agency, signs a huge deal with Cleveland. But they've already made a trade to get Hayden Hurst from Baltimore, so they've seemingly at least plugged that hole there. But now Desmond Trufant and Devontae Freeman are gone. They have been released. They have freed up some cap space, so they could do some stuff in free agency. But what's the direction you think Atlanta goes now in the draft?
Well, like we said, Chris, one thing I guess that helps when you're not very good, you would think you really can't go wrong in the draft, right? Because there are so many different positions that you need help. Well, Atlanta's proven that theory wrong time and time again. You know, and with Trufant, with them cutting him, and they, I guess, were released Alford last year.
Yeah, he's been gone.
That was the draft. I can't remember what year it was. They used their first two picks, both on cornerbacks. And when you, oh yeah, these, and then that just now they're both gone. So that to me, that was not a good draft either. But at least you were hoping, well, maybe if these two guys settle in, right, that was good. And it just it didn't work out there. So you just feel like that was another lost draft for them. Could they look in the secondary again? To me, unless there's an elite guy out there, and the odds of landing an elite corner at 16 are not very good, I think it's always wiser to start from the line of scrimmage and move out, whether that's on offense or defense. If Kinlaw were there, I think that'd be a no-brainer pick. If not, then do you go to the best offensive tackle sitting out there?
Boy, after loading up on the O-lineman last year.
I mean, I know, but now are you in the same boat where with that draft, do you just say it was a miss because you reached on both, you had a reach and trade on the second one?
Are they going to just do another Beasley's gone. This is probably going to be McKinley's last season.
We're going to take another edge rusher here.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Robbie. But here you go again. The Falcons won all those games at the end of the season. It's going to cost them a chance to probably get Derek Brown or Javon Kinlaw, who would be perfect. And to say something nice about Atlanta last season, they might have been, if there was like an Academy Awards ceremony with honors,
mm-hmm,
and there was an award for performance of the year in the NFL.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
The Falcons probably would have won that over anything the Chiefs did, the Patriots did, the Niners did, but the Falcons blasting New Orleans in New Orleans and not allowing New Orleans a touchdown at home was probably the performance of the year in the NFL. And they did that by just sacking Drew Brees over and over again, and most of that pressure came right up the center on him. So Grady Jarrett's phenomenal, and they've got him there, but adding another pass rush force right there in the center of the line of scrimmage, it's all the focus is edge, but man, Atlanta shows you about just getting some pressure right up the gut and what it can do.
No doubt, and that's where it all starts. One of those edge rushers, I'm just going through a couple of mock drafts here, is Kalavon Chasen from LSU. I mean, you know, he's a good player.
Yeah, that's who they could end up with, but the thought about if Kinlaw went, say, we had 13, 14, or 15, and a year ago, the Dolphins took Christian Wilkins with the pick before Atlanta.
Right.
So it just goes back to how those wins at the end of the year work out for you. With a draft pick a couple spots lower. Well, you know, some would say it was a momentum for the next year. Okay, well, they were 1-7 this season after winning all those games at the end of 2018.
Well, could they possibly look corner then?
Well, yeah, I mean, corner's obviously going to be a need. Basically anything on defense other than safety for the time being. And, I mean, they've got Grady Jarrett, but, you know, they could, not that they couldn't still use just another D lineman, another linebacker. Because other than Deion Jones and Grady Jarrett, and they're Keanu Neal has played well, but he just has not been able to really stay healthy.
No.
But Neal is good when he's healthy.
Another name I've seen pop up here, you know, just as far as DBs go, is C.J. Henderson from Florida. I think he's okay. Usually the thing about corners, and obviously they're good ones out there, and we all know they're good players that pop up all throughout the draft, but corner's another one of those spots I think you'll find that, you know, you can get some finds later in the draft for sure, but like for the elite ones, like think back through the last 25 years, guy like Rod Woodson, Deion, Champ Bailey,
yeah,
Patrick Peterson, those guys go really, really high. They're like top five, top seven or eight picks in the draft.
Yeah. I mean, there's been some, you know, some flops, though, that have gone high, too.
There have.
And some of them have been Gators, by the way.
No, they have. But that's one of those where you're almost at that position. If a guy's not a top five or six pick, you're almost better off taking your chances later in the draft there, because maybe a guy like Richard Sherman falls, who just because he was an inch or two too short. But that's just rarely a spot where you find an elite guy in the middle late of the first round.
Yeah, you want to take a moment to kind of rip on Florida a little bit with the draft?
Sure.
And, yeah, I mean, who doesn't want to, who doesn't need a little bit of that in our lives?
Absolutely.
right about now? But here are some of Florida's, I'll just go back a decade. I'll start with 09 and Percy Harvin. These are their first-round picks that have come out of Florida.
I thought he was going to be a dynamo.
All right.
The guy was so great in college.
2010, talking about DBs that were drafted high that don't always turn out well. Joe Hayden.
Well, there's one for you. He was like the fourth pick?
He was the seventh pick by the Clowns. Then you had Marquise Pouncey.
Yep.
And then Tebow were their three first-rounders in 10. Marquise's brother Mike was a first-round pick of the Dolphins the following year in 2011.
Yep.
I think Mike Pouncey has become most famous for wearing like free Aaron Hernandez hat or something.
Yep.
First round pick 2013, Sharif Floyd, yeah, Matt Elam.
Yeah, big defensive lineman and a safety, if memory serves.
2014 was Dominic Easley.
D lineman.
2015 was Dante Fowler, DJ Humphreys.
Yeah, Humphreys is just so-so. Fowler.
Fowler's already on, like, he's about to be on, I think, his third. Like, team. The Falcons might end up signing him.
They could, yeah.
2016, I skipped that. That was Vernon Hargreaves.
Yeah, he's been a total bust.
And then Keanu Neal, who's been okay, but
he's
not. In fact,
hurt.
Neal might be the best out of all of them
no,
so
you're
far.
Right on that stretch.
2017, Gerard Davis was taken by the Lions, linebacker. I think he's been.
That was a bad
kind of banged up too.
Yeah.
Then in 2018, you had that big defensive tackle, that Tavon Bryan, who I just remember was like one of those guys that like
what?
He's going to be first rounder. I don't remember.
Like
all these other guys we've mentioned, I do like remember
sure.
They were great players at Florida.
The other guy was just one of those. Yeah, so I don't recall him. He probably had a good combine and
yeah. And then, because I remember when Brian, that was that year, like a lot of people had him getting mocked to the Falcons.
That was a good thing they didn't get it.
And then last year they didn't have a first rounder. So for the last decade, Gator first rounders,
it hadn't been
just
good.
About all of them have been bust. So to C.J. Henderson, I would say just say no maybe
and
based on that.
Corner to me, that's just one of those positions. And there've been more bust than great players there. I don't know. There just seems to be, to me, that it factor that you could see. The guys who can cover and come up and hit, like Patrick Peterson was a guy at LSU. It's like, this guy's a stud. You know,
right.
when he gets his time, he's going to shine. You know, even like you say, go to Champ Bailey, no doubt about it. You know, Deion, Rod Woodson, no-brainers there. That's for whatever reason, that just seems to be, unless you're and all those guys we just mentioned there are all-time elites. Once you get out of that all-time elite level, like surefire guys, that seems to me to be the biggest dice roll of any position.
Well, yeah, like Hayden and Hargreaves were really good players at Florida, but you could definitely tell when they were there, like they weren't keeping company with like Patrick Peterson.
No,
or they
no.
weren't, you know, the kind of player like Champ and Deion were.
Well,
they were just
like,
obvious no-brainers.
And I know he was more of a playing all, but even a guy like Tyrann Mathieu, who's had a terrific pro career, he was naturally a corner. Then they kind of made his own. I guess he was a forerunner to the star position
yeah.
there. But like that was a guy you had to scheme for him.
Yeah, you knew he was a weapon, and he special teams
well,
too.
Gosh, yeah. So I don't know. That's just one of those spots I think that has a high degree of just burnout or bust there.
And apparently higher if they attended Florida.
Yes. So again, so for Atlanta, which in one draft took corners with its first and second picks to meet its needs, I've just got a bad feeling, Chris, that we're going to be comparing last year's draft with the guard and the tackle is the O-line's version of the draft of Trufant and Alford.
Well, and I just come back to they closed the season on a four-game winning streak, which is going to cost them a couple of spots in the draft and maybe ultimately the chance to get a guy like Javon Kinlaw, who I don't know. I mean, he could turn out to be a flop of a pro, but you know, what I do know about him is he completely wrecked two offensive lines last season that I noticed. One of them was Georgia's and the other was Alabama's.
He's a dude. And then you start, you know, if you're a team like Atlanta, we know one thing you're good at. You can throw the ball. You got Matt Ryan. You got Julio Jones. You got Calvin Ridley. You can throw the football, okay? What else are you really good at? What else do you do that worries people? If they could, say, land Kinlaw, or if they made a move and let's say could get Kinlaw or Derek Brown up there, then you think, okay, boy, they've got two really good defensive tackles in the rookie and Grady Jarrett. That's something to worry about.
Yeah. I've seen a couple mock drafts that have Atlanta taking a receiver.
Oh, don't do that. Then they'll be the new Detroit Lions.
Well, yeah, I'm like, honestly, like, he should be.
Well, he should have. Yeah,
if that pick actually got made, that should be the last pick that Thomas Dimitroff makes in the draft.
Didn't somebody say that in, like, 2016?
Maybe, yeah. You're going to take a, if Atlanta's going to take a wide receiver. Not that that's, I mean, they've got. You still got Julio, and you just drafted Ridley from. And I know Sanu; they traded him last year, but now Hooper was a big. Now Austin Hooper had 75 catches last year and didn't play in three games.
No, he's really good. So plus the guy's like 6'7".
Yeah, that's a huge potential hole. But I do like that. I think Hurst is at least worth a look. I mean, it's a potential to soften the blow there. You know, he was a first-round pick, and he just kind of got lost that, you know, they drafted Mark Andrews after that, and so he only caught like 30-something passes last year. But you know, we know he's a big guy, and he was a force to cover when he was at South Carolina.
Boy, you're not kidding.
But that ain't 75 catches, though, what they've got to replace with Hoopa.
Hoopa!
Hoopa! All right, moving on in the 5-5, let's talk Tom Brady now. Mentioned last hour, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are currently the favorite to land Tom Brady, where he will be starting week one of the 2020 NFL season. Jeff, do you buy that?
No. I cannot imagine him playing for the Tampa Bay Bucs. But I'm sure fans in the 1960s couldn't have imagined Johnny Unitas playing for the then San Diego Chargers.
Yeah.
Or in the 80s. At least the thing with Montana, you knew you had Young. They had to roll him in there. But I just remember seeing Emmitt Smith in an Arizona Cardinals uniform and how weird that looked. And like we said, in the late 70s, I had football cards of Joe Namath with the Rams and O.J. Simpson with the 49ers. This is far from unprecedented. In fact, obviously, the names we just mentioned off, you know, pre-murders for O.J. there. Jerry Rice winding up with the Raiders, although he's still kind of like Montana, had a lot of good years. I say a lot of, 2-3, that's a lot in football. Good years left at him. It's far from unprecedented. In fact, it's probably more the norm.
Well, yeah, for a player just to play his whole career in one city. In any sport now.
If you're talking about, let's say, just out of, you know, iconic quarterbacks, guys we just named. Well, Montana, Namath, Unitas, Peyton Manning, and then Emmitt Smith and O.J. at running back.
Honestly, like Elway and Marino were the only.
Right.
Really the two big ones from. That's it.
You know, most of these.
Because even Favre. Even Favre went to.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I guess Jim Kelly played the whole time with Buffalo. But
yeah. Well, don't forget the Houston Gamblers.
Well, that's true, so that doesn't count there. So, you know, it wouldn't be unprecedented, but just it'd be hard to think of Tom Brady putting on another team's uniform.
Yeah.
But then again,
for some reason, that Tampa one, too.
Oh, that was a thing, too. That was before Arizona got good. Like, seeing Emmitt Smith in an Arizona Cardinals jersey.
Yeah, because that's where it's – with Tampa, it's like they're all-time, like one of the worst franchises ever.
Sure. For sure.
So you'd go from, for Brady, I mean, Brady's the reason why New England is the best franchise ever now. You'd be going from basically the greatest franchise in the NFL to one of the worst.
The Patriots have had the best back-to-back decades. Now you could say
it's a 20-year run now.
It is, and again, he was a player of the decade in two decades, unprecedented. Now you could certainly say, you know, the Steelers in the 70s were better, maybe the, you know, during one of the decades, but to have two like that, it's just
no. Because like if you say the team of the decade in the 70s, all right, we'll say the Steelers. The team of the decade in the 80s,
49ers.
Yeah, the 49ers. The team of the decade in the 90s would have been Dallas.
Yeah,
and then now it's been Patriots, New England.
Yes.
And even in the 80s and the 90s, New England did get to a Super Bowl in each of those decades.
Very true.
So
now, in between, they were god-awful.
Oh, they were a joke.
But they still got there.
Yeah. I mean, they hired Mr. Plow that one game.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
For the barefooted John Smith.
Yeah. You know his name. It's Mr. Plow. all right, moving on in the 5 at 5, let's shift and give you some college football thought here now, because who doesn't need a college football thought? Last year it was Texas, Jeff, and this year I guess it could still be Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But which is the team this season that thinks they're back but will not be back?
Well, so much so for Texas even that Sam Ellinger, you know, got up after the Sugar Bowl and said,
"We're back.
We're back."
Yeah.
And
they most definitely were not.
They were not. It's not going to be USC.
No. They opened with Bama.
Yeah. It's a candidate, and I don't want to sit here and jinx the dogs, but a candidate's a school we've just been talking about, Florida. They've been really good the last 2 years. You know, so now all of a sudden, does Florida come in there and, you know, if they go 8-4, all of a sudden it's a down year for them?
No, they would be a big candidate for it. I mean, they are coming off back-to-back. Like Texas was coming off a Sugar Bowl win. They're coming off an Orange Bowl win, and they did even win the Peach Bowl the year before.
Yeah,
so they've
sure.
actually finished top 10 back-to-back years.
Yes.
But now they've been repositioned all of a sudden as kind of the they're the favorite in the East. They should win it. Georgia's got a new OC, got a new quarterback, and now we don't even have a spring practice to work out some kinks. So
and again, but Florida's been really good the last 2 years. So just trying to think of a team that's kind of been off the radar a little bit, that's bounced right back up there. I don't think Michigan's going in with great aspirations this year, really.
No, in fact, Michigan could be a candidate for a team all of a sudden that's kind of just laying ready to strike, like everyone's writing them off, like Harbaugh is suddenly terrible and been terrible, when, you know, I think every loss they had last year was to a top 10 team.
Right.
So
another team, now not to the same level as Texas, but that was supposed to quote unquote be back, was Nebraska last year.
Yeah.
And they're
still not.
We're not.
And now because of that, it's like no one, I don't know that anyone's really necessarily thinking they're back.
So they might actually be pretty good this year.
Yeah. You know, all right, getting back from Michigan real fast. Like they lost last year
to
the
Wisconsin beat them.
Rose Bowl team, Cotton Bowl team, Penn State.
Yes, Ohio State obviously.
In the playoff, and then Notre Dame beat them. Who ended up...
Or no, they beat Notre Dame, right?
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
they
clobbered
Notre Dame.
Because Notre Dame's only losses were to us and Michigan.
Right.
So they lost
to Alabama. So, yeah, everybody that beat them was good.
Yeah. Yeah, Bama played in the worst bowl of anyone that beat them.
Is Bama back?
Yeah. True.
You know who's not saying they're back right now? It's like, here's the problem with that question. It's a great question. It's like, there's not really a candidate in the ACC, because it's not like, oh boy, Florida State, well, we lost the Sun Bowl. So
they're not back. And like, North Carolina might be good, but where are they coming back from?
Right.
So, like, we're back.
Golly.
What about Tech? Are they back?
Oh, God. Maybe they'll be saying it.
They've got amongst the most returning production of any team in the country.
They do. Luckily, that wasn't a high degree of production.
No, it wasn't. They lost to the Citadel.
Yes.
At home.
Now, that was early.
Yeah. Well, and then late, they lost 52-7 to Georgia in a game we didn't even play good.
We did. That second quarter was our worst quarter of the season.
Yeah.
It was horrendous.
Right. And the final was still 52-7.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, that was.
All right, Georgia played really not a great game, and still ended up with the largest margin of victory in the history of the series.
That's true. Is there anybody else from the Big 12? Now, because Baylor kind of sprung out of nowhere. You know, Okie State's kind of fallen into that. And they've, of course, you know, we'd have gotten in the playoffs years ago, where they're more than capable of beating, say, Oklahoma or Texas. But they just – I think they've fallen to the point where they're 7-5 or 8-4 at best.
Yeah, I think the only real contender for being able – who are back would be Texas as a former once-proud power.
Yeah.
You know, everyone else would just be – even Oklahoma State, I think, would just be a candidate. Like, if they come back, they're – best case scenario for them anyway is maybe they get to the conference title game.
Right.
And I don't think to the Cotton Bowl or something.
Yeah, I don't think USC is really saying it. Washington was a disappointment last year.
No. I mean, your candidates are probably – it's either like Texas or somebody in the SEC. Florida's probably a good pick there, and maybe even the team that got a lot of mileage out of beating Indiana by 1 point, the Gator Bowl.
Could be. Also, maybe Oregon. I know they recruited well, but I, you know,
let me tell you with Oregon, they lose Justin Herbert. They play Ohio State in week two. In week one, they play North Dakota State.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's bad scheduling.
Terrible scheduling.
Yeah. Now, you play a powerhouse in 1AA or FCS, or no? Yes, FCS.
Yeah, 1AA. Yeah.
1AA FCS. Right. Before you play Ohio State, like you are open season.
No,
it's duck hunt.
No, that's where you need to in that you need to play either somebody god awful or a good team that's in your division of competition.
Yeah,
like I thought, like before we played Notre Dame, like all right, we got App State. Everybody knows they're good. Yeah, we should win, but. You're coming in. Had they still been in 1AA? No.
You don't want to play a really good 1AA team, especially the week before you play Ohio State.
No.
Because you know, everyone's going to be thinking about that.
Well, they're going to be – Oregon will be a popular playoff pick, but
– they might be 0-2.
I think at best they're 1-1.
And barely, maybe.
Yeah.
Because that North Dakota State is – that's going to be tough.
And I think Oregon's on the uptick. They're going to have good days coming up, but they just to lose a guy like Herbert, I don't think they're just in the just – we're going to reload.
No, and then scheduling a very losable game to a lower-level opponent.
Be interesting to see what happens with Washington, too, with Peterson gone.
Yeah, yeah. And they've got to replace a quarterback, too.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, and Washington State doesn't have
the good doctor.
Dr. Mike Leach.
Do we know who they hired?
You know, but I bet I know who does.
Google.
I think they just didn't. I think they might have just promoted an assistant.
Probably
yeah.
Good man. And Stanford's really fun. Of course, Stanford, they didn't do themselves any favors with that schedule last year.
No, but they've had a couple of decent signing classes that maybe, you know, they might be a team set to bounce back.
Yeah. Although they lost KJ Costello.
Oh no, they hired Nick Rolovich from Hawaii.
Okay.
That's who Washington State got.
Right.
That's not bad.
Nope.
All right, there's your 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.